What's up, Mad Town? It is your girl, Brandi Grayson, here on 92.7 FM WMDX. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show. You're listening to the woman that gets it all, from her mama, from her looks to her skin, to her brains, to everything. Like, my mama was flawless, but not flawless in the way you think, because I was kind of awarded to the state. But I got all her goodness. All of her goodness I got. And I can't do nothing but send my mama love. So rest in power, mom. It's happy Saturday. Happy Saturday to all of y'all. I'm so happy to be in the studios this morning with my favorite white producer, Luke, on the other side of the mic. How are you doing today, Luke?
I'm doing well, Brandi.
Okay, good. So it's been what kind of week has it been for you?
It's a week that's flown by, that's for sure. It's just so much. I cannot believe that we're already, like, it's
back
the middle
to school
of August.
Time.
Yeah, it's back to school. People are already talking about, like, the end of summer is
it's
here.
Crazy.
And I'm like,
yeah.
No, hang on. We got, like, I don't have kids. Back to school season's not for me.
Okay,
so
period.
I got, like, 6 more weeks of summer. Everybody else telling me the summer's gone. They can stop that.
I'm with that. I still got a few more vacations to take, okay? I'm traveling to Montgomery. I've never been there before, so I'm going there in September. And I'm also traveling to Hawaii. So I'm super excited for my solo vacation. I took Messiah to Disney World this year, and that was solely for him. And that was so tiring. Like, I was exhausted when I got back. And then I was so behind in emails and tasks. I was so tired. So I'm going to Hawaii, and I've been planning this since last year because Hawaii is expensive. So I had to do like payment plans for Hawaii. So I'm going to the jazz festival. So I'm super excited to go to Honolulu in a couple weeks. And shout out to my family who's house sitting, dog sitting, and child sitting. Okay. And what would I do without my family looking out for me? So anyway, this week has been a little weird. My co-host Kelly, she was supposed to come in today, but she had an emergency in one of her units. As you guys may have found out last week, she's a regional director of some properties in Madison in the Dane County area. And some of the properties she managed, she supports our clients. Urban Triage is able to place a lot of folks into housing because of our relationships with property managers. And if you didn't know, I am the CEO and founder of Urban Triage, a local nonprofit organization that provides direct services, primarily housing services. And we also do agriculture services and run agriculture initiatives. At this time, our agriculture initiatives are not funded. So we're a little short budget. Okay, y'all. So if you ever want to support agriculture initiatives that feed the soul, support Urban Triage. Make a donation, become a recurring donor at Urban Triage, TRIAGE.org. We run multiple initiatives under our agriculture umbrella, including farmers resources. We support farmers in connecting with resources inside government and other resources for farmers, like grants, startup money, all that stuff. We also run a hemp program where we teach entrepreneurs, and specifically entrepreneurs that are non-white and of color. I hate the word color, so I'd be trying to search for a different word. Anyway, we teach them how to enter the hemp venture, and we teach them the skills of growing hemp, how to harvest it, how to take it to processing, and how to develop a business plan. And they receive $2,500 once they complete the class. And we also have another class for parents and children where we teach them the history of farming, and we teach them how to farm, and we teach them how to garden and grow food at their own house. And we run different type of activities, from somatic work to yoga work to Pilates. We do everything with them. Our family program is really about healing and providing opportunities for families and children to bond. And then once we grow all this organic food, we grow about 5,000 to 10,000 pounds a year, depending on our season, how much rain we get, our capacity as a team. We give it all away, and we go around Dane County and we build garden beds as well. And in partnerships with Rooted, we have a garden bed at the Capitol. So our agriculture program is pretty extensive and pretty unique and pretty extraordinary. Shout out to our agriculture team, Connor, Chelsea, Coop, and Ruthanna. They do their darn thing, y'all. We get at least 20 crates of produce every week to give out free at 2312 South Park Street in Madison, Wisconsin, every Thursday from 1 to 4 p.m. So yeah, Urban Triage is about that life, about taking care of our people holistically. So I encourage you to support us. We may not be a traditional nonprofit, but we definitely get the work done in serving those who are most vulnerable. So hit us up on Facebook, Urban Triage, or follow us on Instagram, Urban Triage, or TikTok, Urban Triage, or visit our website, urbantriage.org, O-R-G. Okay, enough about me and our organization. So how did my week go? My week has been interesting. I went to the music fest at the Labor Temple last Saturday. It was amazing. Great music, great artists. Shout out to Clyde Gaines, who runs that festival every single year. And while I was there, I found out that a certain someone had posted my address online. I have many stalkers, mostly white men. And I just want to say that was pretty dangerous. And at first I was pretty emotional about it. And then I had to check myself because I came on air one time very emotional and I had committed to myself that I would never do that again. I have to practice emotional, just mastering my emotions and not being moved by other people. I think I've been doing really, really good considering the fact that I exist in a town that I have coined as the Sunken Place. Okay. The Sunken Place, they follow me everywhere I go. They're like zombies. There's Brandi Grayson and I'm all over the news for not the good stuff. Like, I just ran through our agriculture program, you guys. And that's not even all that we do. We do housing. We run 9 different housing programs, not one, but 9. We do scattered transitional housing, rapid rehousing. We run like 2 different rapid rehousing programs. We do outreach in the community. We support people who are chronically homeless. And not only that, we run educational programs. We support our elders. We support our youth. We support families. We support a whole lot of people with little money and small capacity. So I just want to say that, like, that's the focus right now is not about what we do, but the focus has never been about what actually Urban Triage has accomplished in a historical way, in a radical way. It's always been about this Black girl and who does she think she is. So part of my work as a leader in Dane County is to make sure I continue to take care of my heart and soul. And you are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest and the woman people love to hate but hate to love. Okay, amen. So I've learned a lot over the last couple weeks to take care of my heart and that there's some work that I need to do because I am. And we do this a lot on Black Conversion Show. So thank you guys for tuning in, just kind of like doing our check-in. But this is my space, my platform where I share because y'all be stalking me anyway. So I might as well use this as an opportunity.
I was gonna say, I feel like that's something to be okay to be emotional about. I would be livid.
Livid, yeah, about sharing my address. Yeah, I was at first. But then I had to realize that's what people want me to be. You know, people want me to be the angry Black girl that I started off with when I first started developing my analysis around white supremacy. Because when you start learning what things are, you go through this kind of grieving process where you're angry. And then you, because you're like in denial, then you're angry, and then you get to work. So people want to take me back there so they can point the finger and say, see, I told you she's not a good leader. I told you she's not this or that. So I refuse to let other people define me, even when my heart is broken, even when I'm not okay with things. So I'm just going to practice what I preach and stand on it, right? Like, God is good. And whether you believe in God or not, God is good all the time and all the time. God is good, okay? So I just want to just say that, like, it's weird living in the sunken place. So the most powerful thing though, Luke, that has occurred from this whole process over the last month, because it really started kicking off in July when I made the news, and then I made the news again this week because I had court. Shout out to my attorney. I don't have to go to court because I have a really good attorney, so I could just let him do his thing. And so I just want to say the one thing that has come from this incident is I'm a very expressive person. I need to vocalize what I'm thinking and feeling for the most part. And my son is like that, y'all, and it drives me crazy. It's so funny. He talks all the time and he's so expressive and he's so amazing. He's just like, this is what I feel. This is what I'm thinking, mom. And he's always really excited. Like, no, mom, you need to listen. I'm like, you're right. I do need to listen. So he's always checking me. So shout out to my 9-year-old amazing king that I have. And Luke, I know I'm about to get back to what I was telling y'all what the positive thing is, but I want to ask you, Luke, do you plan on having children?
Yeah, I think the missus and I are planning on it. Yeah.
Luke was like, I don't know what's going on in this world. We might
That's a factor for sure. It's like one of those things where you see the headlines and you're just like, how? Like,
how?
Yeah, why?
Oh,
yeah.
My God. There was a 14-year-old boy who just killed his mother and father. Did you see that on the news?
I did not see that.
I can't remember where it's from. The woman was black. Her husband was white. And the boy killed them. And she had posted, like, in 2019, a message on Facebook that her son was driving her crazy. And she was like, y'all need to send me love, send me love. And this was 6 years ago. So that's really scary, too, not to make you think about that as you decide to have children and not Luca.
Yeah, thanks for that. That's just layer it on.
They're not all that bad. My son is amazing.
The slogan for do you want to have kids or not? They're not all that bad.
So back to what I was saying about the amazing result of all the drama, the chaos, the people who are pressed to follow me, watch me, troll me, is I have developed. I don't know if I developed, but I started writing poetry and I just realized that I'm really good at it. Really good at it. And I started writing it because I like I said to you guys a few minutes ago, I didn't want to be who people have said I am. I want to be able to define myself as powerful and authentic and still be expressive without giving people the ability to say, oh, there's that emotion or there she is, that angry black woman. Because the truth of the matter is my emotions is a little bit more complicated than that and is deeper than that. And it's I don't know. So poetry has allowed me to express my pain, my anger, my sadness, my happiness, and allow me to express where I'm going in a way that has filled me and gave me an outlet. So just shout out to God for that, because now I might as well go ahead and write a book or two, because now I'm like, girl, you a writer too? Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Because, you know, everything I touch be gold. I think that's why people be mad. I don't know, y'all. The pressure cooker is a mother. And my middle name is Pearl. And you know how pearls are made. And my first name is Brandy, you know, and was it cognac? That stuff's pretty strong.
It's distilled, yeah. Take some time
to get cultivated, you know what I mean? So, you know, your name is super important. So I feel like right now I'm transitioning into returning and becoming the highest version of myself and aligning myself with the highest version timeline. Because y'all know everything is based in quantum physics and reality. If you didn't know, in quantum mechanics, one of those things I love to study and talk to people about, but I don't have a lot of people to talk to about that. So, and basically what that means is everything happening right now. Okay. So I am that person that I desire to be right now. I just need to recalibrate. That's all I needed to do. So y'all watch us work. You watch us grow at Urban Triage. You watch what we do. We have a Harvest Fest September 6th located on our farm. And why don't I know the address to our farm? It's 29 something, but it's located at the Farley Center, who's an amazing nonprofit that has been supporting Urban Triage agriculture since we begin, maybe the second, third year. But we're super excited for our Harvest Fest. When I return from the break, I'll tell you more. We provide rides and all kind of stuff. And in addition, we're going to talk about black organs, black people bodies being taken by hospitals and harvested in real life. This isn't a movie. This isn't science fiction. This isn't 1906 or 1865. It's happening right now in 2025. So we need to talk about that. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about how Trump has hired a sex offender to run a youth initiative, which is weird, but not so weird for Trump. So stay tuned here on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl Brandi Grayson on the Black Conversion Show. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a jiff. I put that on my
own mama, on my hood. You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, it's your favorite hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, back on 92.7 FM WMDX. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show. So prior to break, I was telling you guys about our fabulous, extraordinary event, Urban Triage 4th Annual Harvest Fest, taking place, okay. I sound like a duck. Place, taking place. Okay, taking place on September 6th at our farm, which is located in Verona at the Farley Center. It's on Spring Street or 29. Y'all can just look it up, okay?
2299 okay. Spring Rose Road in Verona, Wisconsin.
Thanks, Luke. Thanks, Luke, for the save. That's where our farm is located. That's where we grow all of our organic produce. It's also where we grow our hemp. And we set it up so nice, y'all. Everything is free. At this time, it's only sponsored by Roots and Wings Foundation. We haven't been able to secure other funding or sponsorship. So we're a little short cash on our Harvest Fest, very similar to us being short cash on our agriculture programs, as I discussed prior to break. But it's all good because God always works it out. But if you're interested in sponsoring our event, you should hit me up at bgrayson@urbantriage.org. That's B. G-R-A-Y-S-O-N at urbantriage.org. We do need sponsors. We have free food, and the food will be provided by, as folks from Madison and the Dayton County area might know, Cupcake Antonia. I can't remember her event name, but she'll be providing food. And also the Jamaican Barista located at the Black Hub on Park Street, right in the same parking lot as Urban Triage. They will be providing food as well. We always provide enough food to feed 1,000 people free. So you get free food and soul food. We'll have macaroni and cheese, greens, yams. Oh, we should play that song. Yams, tomatoes, greens. We'll have all of that. And we also will have vegan options because we know everybody does not eat meat. We'll make sure there's no meat in the greens, or we have some meat and some greens with meat and the other greens without meat, and green beans with meat, some without it. Okay. So we will be taking care of all of y'all. In addition, we also will have free wine and beer. We'll have a Stilt Walkers Arrowless performance. We have a magic show. We have people who do the tight ropes, and children also will have activities doing the tight ropes. What else do we have? We have, oh, jugglers, the people who juggle things, and we have that show happening as well. They'll be walking around doing that. We also provide golf carts so that we can move people who are differently abled and have accessibility challenges around the farm. We encourage our elders to come out, because when you come to Urban Triage's events, elders are our focus, meaning that we serve you. Our staff's job is to provide you, go get the food for you, go get your drinks for you. I'm going to make sure you're good, because we owe you. We stand on your shoulders. And I believe in that and all that we do as an organization as an individual. So if you're worried about being differently abled and having challenges walking around our farm, don't worry about it. We got you. We got front row parking. We got a golf cart that'll pick you up and move you around. We have people volunteering. And we need volunteers. Okay. So it's been a hard year to get funders, sponsorships, and volunteers. So if you're interested in volunteering, even if all you can do is sit at a table, that's helpful, right? We also have bouncy houses. We have popcorn, caramel apple stations. We have cigarette band coming from Milwaukee performing. We have a DM, who's also a jazz R&B band from Madison, Wisconsin, performing. We'll have spoken word. I mean, it is going to be a day. That's what Urban Triage do. We do too much everywhere in our work, in our events. We also will do line dance lessons for free at 3 p.m. because after 8 o'clock, we go down and a DJ turns up. So we'll be doing all the land. Where are my fans at? Hey, where my fans at? If you ain't never been to a black person line dancing space or an event, this is where you want to be, because black folks be cutting up. And the diversity of the crowd is, you know, it's amazing. It's where we come to celebrate joy, family, and community, and each other. So come out and celebrate the harvesting and the work of Urban Triage and other communities and agencies and organizations that support our work. We love you. So follow us on Facebook, or again, our website, urbantriage.org. Sign up to volunteer, donate, sponsor the event. We'll put your name and your logo across all our, you know, a huge banner. I'll talk about you on the show, right? Shout out to Roots and Wings Foundation. It's one of our foundations that support us with unrestricted funds, so we get to do whatever we need to do with the money. And every year we use it for events, because oftentimes our events are slow. I mean, like just a little short. That's what I meant. Not slow, short. It's okay. I was
saying, anything but slow. It sounds like there's so much going on that
so
day.
So much going on, and it's so beautiful, y'all. It really is. The Farley Center is so peaceful. Our farm is so peaceful. So come and check us out. All right, done talking about the Harvest Fest, and shout out to Roots and Wings Foundation again for always taking care of Urban Triage. We appreciate you so much. And they be like, y'all don't need to mention us. Like, but how can we not when y'all so good to us and our people? So anyway, before we go on break again, do me a favor, play the clip real quick for Trump that launches the little just small clip. I want you to hear this man that he's hired to do this sports youth initiative real quick.
No, don't start. I'm just proud to be on this team. I don't know why. I don't know what we're supposed to be doing, but I'm here to serve, and I'm here to serve you. Okay, so I'm going to do the best I can for as long as I can. Thank you very much.
Nobody like him.
And then Trump ends with nobody like him. Like, what the heck is wrong with this man? So first of all, this man's name is Lawrence Taylor. He is a registered sex offender. And Trump told him to show up because he was launching a youth sports initiative and he wanted him to direct it. The dude show up. He don't know what's going on. He don't know why he there. But all he knows, he there to serve. And just mind you, this is a black man. So a black man serving Trump, a sex offender, youth sports initiative. You tell me how that makes sense, Luke. Where does it make sense?
It doesn't. And LT is like one of the most famous NFL football players to like ever play. But it is very questionable that he shows up like that. And it's just like, I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm here.
Whatever you need me to do, massa, I'll do. I'll do, massa. I'll do it. See, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, we'll talk about more of this massa consciousness in a second when we return. You're tuned in to 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson here on WMDX. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show. And when we return, we're going to talk about black bodies being stolen, being harvested, our organs being harvested. This is a mess. You would think it was back in the past, but it's happening right here today in 2025. Stay tuned. You do not want to miss this. Beyonce. That just made me really happy. Thank you, Luke. You're tuned into 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, your hostess with the mostest, and the person that people love to hate and hate to love, okay? You can't help but to love me. It's just something about me. God said, girl, I'm just going to make you to be, you know, fabulous, so fabulous that people can't even stand your light. When you walk in the room, they just get mad. They be like, who that is? I'm just mad at her. Why are you mad at her, girl? Look at her teeth. Why her teeth like that? Why her hair like that? Why she talk like that? And why is it that everything she do, even if she ain't done it before, she good at? I have to tell them, I don't know. I ain't never been on the radio, but when I got on here, it just flowed, right? I don't know why God made me like this. I did stand up too, y'all, and I am hilarious. I didn't even know I was funny until I did stand up. I did it at the comedy show below us a couple of times and people were cracking up. I had this one person come up and say, how long you've been doing this? About 15 years? What, girl? This is like my first time, but I appreciate it. So all, you know, all blessings to God for just being in me in this light. Anyway, prior to break, we were talking about Trump hiring Lawrence Taylor, ex-NFL player, who was a sex offender, to run the youth sports initiative, who wasn't even sure why he was there. So that was very interesting. I also want to play real quick. I want to talk about how the news is not actually true most of the time. Like, it's edited, it's framed. It's, I don't know what it is. I don't know the word for it. But as I often say, all people activity, everything you see, everything you hear, things that you eat are rooted in this mechanism, this system of control and power that my girl, Bell Hooks, you should look up Bell Hooks and all of her books, has coined as white supremacy, patriarchal, imperialistic, fascism system. Like, it was long. It's a long word. I use white supremacy racism because she had like six words and it was just a little bit too long, but she's coined it in that way. And it's what it basically means is that everything we interact with, the purpose of it is to keep us asleep, to keep us distracted, and to keep us from the truth, and to keep us divided, because then we're fighting with each other about a truth fed to us through a lie. Anyway, let's go ahead and play this clip real quick about how Trump edited the news.
can report tonight that the White House video of this exchange has also skillfully cut out that question from the Reuters reporter as if it didn't happen. So I'll show you them back to back here. I'll show you the real one first, and then I'll show you what the White House has posted online instead. Here first is the real one.
Options abound, and they all can be found in an
appropriate
legal framework.
Did you want President Trump to win the election, and did you direct any of your officials to help him do that?
Yes, I did.
That's the real one. Now watch what the White House has posted online instead.
Options abound, and they all can be found in an appropriate legal framework.
President. And did you direct any of your officials to help him do that?
Yes, I did.
They just dropped it out.
They dropped
first
the
part of his
out.
Question. President Putin, did you want President Trump to win the election? They just dropped that out. What the White House has disappeared from the official U.S. government record of that meeting, both in print and in their video of the meeting, is President Putin answering in the affirmative when he's asked if he wanted Trump to win the election. We can report.
Putin, yes, I did. That's how I got. I'm gonna get y'all. That's how I'm gonna take down the United States. Of course, I wanted him to win. Matter of fact, I helped him win.
And this is recapping the 2018 meeting from a press conference that they had in Helsinki. It's important to note that this week they have also said that Trump and Putin plan to meet again. Soon for the second during the second administration here.
Yeah, so I just want to point out, y'all, that the way that we records are framed, the way that history is written, is always done so for the person that's in power, right? They always need to represent themselves in the way that makes us make it okay. And then we're left arguing about whether someone's for us or against us, or whether we should be against us or against them. And a perfect example was COVID, right? The COVID vaccine. It left us like fighting and like literally like having physical altercations and arguments on Facebook about whether you should get a vaccine or not, and how everybody who chose not to get vaccines were trying to kill other people. It was really an emotional time for everyone. And because the truth was never really gave to us, it was kind of orchestrated. And I'm not saying one way or another what people should have and shouldn't be doing. I'm just saying that we don't really know or have the full context or the full content to make solid decisions or to stand on anything. And I say that because I believe we need to start being more open-minded and start doing more research and asking more questions to who, the what, the why, the how, before we say, I believe in this or I believe in that. That's just my opinion. I want to transition right now on 92.7 FM, WMDX. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show. You're listening to me, your favorite girl, Brandi Grayson. I want to transition into the conversation about freaking organs being harvested. I'm going to play this clip. The clip is 4 minutes and 40 seconds long. I'm just going to listen to it because there's information in this clip that I think is super, super important. And then we're going to talk about the history of Black bodies being stolen and where organs are being harvested. And we're not talking about by strangers. We're talking about hospitals. We're talking about morgues. We're talking about people literally disappearing off the street and being found in a hospital with organs gone. And the hospital be like, I don't know what happened. This is strange. This is weird. Go ahead, Luke, for me and play the clip.
Here we go. Hospital exposed, hiding a Black woman's body, harvesting the organs. It's damn shame. Put it up, full mask.
He's showing something on the video.
California woman goes missing. Is found in a morgue months later with organs taken out of her body. Miss Tanya Walker went missing in November of 2023. Could not be found anywhere by the family. This prompted a thorough search throughout their home of Sacramento for months. The investigation officially began November 10th when Tanya's family reported her missing to the police. It's not like Tanya Walker to do this, so they got police involved. Her sisters, Delee Maris and Kalia Zachary, soon jumped into action, distributing hundreds of flyers searching roadside ditches, and even crawling through storm drains to find her. All while offering $3,500 for information, which unfortunately led to many false leads. Police used a cadaver dog and an alert dog. By the walk's appearance, searched for months. Then a break came. A break in the case did not come until May 2024, several months later, when the DOJ noticed that she had been marked as deceased by the DMV. So a sheriff's deputy told the family that they had finally found Walker's body on a shelf in a morgue located on the outskirts of Sacramento. When family arrived, they were shown Miss Walker's body. Walker was missing her eyes and her epidermal, her skin, was identified through the renderings of a tattoo on her arm. Walker's family discovered that she actually died in November 2nd, of cardiac arrest at Mercy General Hospital after being admitted a few days earlier. The hospital had an address for her, which was a home she sometimes shared with her adult son, yet no one was alerted, not a single person. The family claims that in addition to failing to notify the family of her passing, the hospital did not bother to issue a death certificate. What's more, her body had been harvested for organs, even though she had never agreed to be an organ donor. Now, I'm going to say this because it simply needs to be said. When you have that much insensitivity and possible criminal action, you have to question everything, including the story about cardiac arrest. You have to weigh all possible hypotheses now, because there's nobody you can deal with who operated in good faith, ironically, except the sheriff. The sheriff is the one who figured it out.
Oh, I don't even know.
California-based medical organization, a nonprofit, is now facing a civil lawsuit filed by Walker's family. Who allege gross negligence and intentional infliction of emotional distress. It is one of dozens lawsuits filed against the company Dignity Health. Dignity Health, over the mishandling of bodies. Walker's lawsuit also names the mortuary owner, Michael Lofton, claiming he was responsible for gross negligence for failing to store her remains properly. So this is a pattern. Earlier in 2023, Jesse Peterson was admitted to a nearby Sacramento.
Yeah, y'all. So that was a lot, a whole lot, and scary as heck. Could you imagine searching for a family member for months, like years? Like, because I think she disappeared in 2023. They located her in 2024, and they didn't locate her because they found her body. They located her because DMV marked her as dead. And then the sheriff got notification and was like, what do you mean she's dead? And then he located her at the morgue. So the morgue, I don't even know how the morgue like talked to the DMV, because there was no death certificate ever issued for her body. But even scarier is that she was missing her eyeballs and her skin. That's some sick stuff, y'all. It's sick. And I don't know from a historical perspective if you are aware or not, but this is exactly what they did to Black people during slavery. During slavery, people would cut off the skin of Black people and make them into jackets and use the skin for jackets and shoes and wear them. And that's why I think it's super important for us to know our history, because sometimes we forget how demonic it was and how traumatic it was and how, like, against the things that we say we stand for as a country. Because, you know, on our money, it says, in God we trust. And the stuff that we talk about in our work groups is me helping people known as Black and other people understand that in order for folks, white people and folks who upheld these things and cut off the skins of Black people and cut off their tongues and their ears and their noses and their fingers and put them, like, literally They used to put our fingers and toes on their windowsills and their fireplaces like an animal to say, look at all these Negroes, or you know what, we killed. And during this time, they used to go to, when they used to go to lynching, what they used to call lynching parties or picnicking, you know what I mean? They would they get all dressed up. Their kids would come, they would get dressed up, and they would hang black people and they would burn them alive. And their kids would watch, they would watch. And there's still pictures. They have a book, I can't remember the guy's name, but he has a book where he, after slavery, he posts all these pictures of lynching. And in the pictures, you can see white people faces with like grimacing looks, like this smile and smirk. And that, my people, don't go away. That feeling, that dehumanization of objectifying black bodies don't go away. Stay tuned. We're going to continue to talk about the history of black body harvesting and organs harvesting here on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the place that makes you uncomfortable. We talk about things that may not feel good, but they are the history of the United States of America. And in order for us to heal from our past, we must know it to prepare for our future. So stay tuned, because I have more for you here on 92.7 FM.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, your girl is back. Tuned into 92.7 FM WMDX. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show with Brandi Grayson. And prior to break, we were talking about the harvesting of black people organs happening right now in 2025. The clip was from the Young Turks. The incident happened in 2023 and they discovered her body in 2024. Eyes missing, skin gone. And I was given perspective from a historical context that this is nothing new. White people have done this to black people since the beginning of time, since our time here and what we known as Americas, as slaves. Because as I often say to y'all, we came before slavery. I know that pisses people off, but you know, black people are the beginning of time. And it's not me saying it. It's actually white science and white history. So check it out. And what we were talking about prior to break is how black bodies have been used in science for experimental issues or experiments forever. There was a Henrietta Lacks, I can't remember the date, but her cells and her body was taken and used, and her cells were found to be extraordinary. Like they were doing things that other cells was never known to do. Please look her up in the history of Henrietta Lacks. And her cells are still being used today. And there's been a lot of conversations about, you know, why they never paid her family. It's been used in to develop cures for cancer, all kind of stuff. It's amazing what her cells were doing. But then it brings us to question, what is it about black bodies that people need, right? It's not just anybody's, like black bodies from grave robbing. People rob graves and take black bodies to take organs, whether you had permission or not. And this has been happening since the beginning of time. So anyway, y'all, and it currently happens here. I had a young lady I was talking to, and I won't give her information, but she went in for a procedure, and they removed all her fallopian tubes without her permission. And then told her she couldn't have them because she's like, you're going to remove them, then give it to me. And they was like, no, and there was nothing she could do. It was terrible because sometimes you don't have the resources or the money to do anything. And when black people and specifically black women listen, y'all don't listen anyway. Y'all translate our words. You do all kind of stuff, especially in Dane County. But Dane County is a microcosm of what's happening in our world, period, and which has always happened with black women. But before we get out of here, go ahead and play a clip for me, Luke. Let's give some history, some positive black history. I'm not positive, but let's just give some black history real quick before we get out of here.
This is a Sears mail-ordered house built in 1915, ordered from a Sears catalog, shipped by train, and assembled on this spot.
Remember that rumor that was going around about the founders of Sears being actually black and it was being hidden? Well, actually, that rumor was started because white store owners were mad at the founders of Sears, who actually had to provide photos of themselves multiple times to prove that they were not black, because they were providing products and shopping access to black people. Let's get started and learn something new, because I will always talk about this. Back it up to the early 1900s, and catalog shopping started becoming super popular. Now, Sears was the first or the second to offer catalog shopping, shopping, but they were the first to offer catalog shopping with credit, which changed everything, especially for Black people. Now, catalog shopping is basically what we do on Amazon, but before the internet. Now, catalog shopping would mean you could order anything from this huge book of products. I mean, home appliances, clothes, shoes, accessories, houses, farming equipment, harvesting equipment, farming clothes, anything you could think of. And the same time that these catalogs started coming out, Jim Crow was well underway. And Jim Crow not only took away political rights, but also consumer rights. And it wasn't just standing behind a white person in line waiting to be serviced. It was also a matter of buying items on credit. Farmers, both white and Black, depended on credit to survive until the harvest. Credit came through the small general stores that were white owned. And the shopkeeper decided what you could buy. Black sharecroppers would often be in perpetual debt to a store, which was often owned by their landlord and employer. The credit price for goods, higher than the cash price, always managed to leave sharecroppers a little in the red even after they were paid for their crops. This debt system bound Black farmers to the land in an almost feudal fashion. Adding insult to injury, Black people were often even not allowed to purchase the same quality clothes as white people. And this is where Sears came in. Fast forward to why the white store owners got mad and they started that rumor that Sears was Black owned, thinking that was going to affect their business, and also started burning Sears catalogs and offering prizes for it. Now, 1891 comes, the catalogs go out, Black people start purchasing from the Sears catalogs and using Sears credit. And so they no longer have to need the landlords, they no longer need the store owners, and of course that takes away their power. They can buy the same overalls, hats, farming equipment, home appliances, and buy their own homes and build them themselves. And the prices were lower too, which was the kicker. And the catalog was successful in part because it brought low prices to the countryside. And for sharecroppers and farmers, they didn't have to go to the city. They could flip through that catalog and be like they shopping in downtown Chicago. Oh my God, Chicago.
Look, that's good. Could you imagine? Could you imagine being able to buy everything from a catalog, from your clothes to your farming equipment to your actual house, and it being cheaper, and then them being very, they remind me of Costco during the time, the DEI time, like the present time, right? Like them being like, no, we're standing on it. We're going to stand with our DEI initiatives, and it is what it is. And then Target losing because they removed their DEI initiatives, and people mad like, no, you need to stand against the DEI. And Sears, you know, my grandmother loves Sears. And for Black people, y'all know, my Black listeners, Sears was no game. We had to go to Sears every week. It was just this thing that we did. And for me to find out the history of Sears and how they still with Black people, it makes me really happy that my grandmother shopped there. And it makes me really happy to hear how all these white people were so, so mad and they were burning their catalogs. But the funny thing is that they really burnt themselves, because that's what usually happens. Like, this is the place to shop. This is the cheap place. That Sears was the Walmart of the day, okay? You can get anything from Sears, even your house, your freaking house. Oh my God, that's so dope. I don't know. I thought it was a good Black history little note. So y'all remember that. There are people out here, whether they're white, Black, or whatever, is support Black people. And I think for me, over the last month, I've been the people that I thought that would show up to support me, to give me love, to just send me words of encouragement, people who call themselves my friends, were nowhere to be found. But the people that were on the outskirts, they reached out, they brought me flowers, they just sent me lots of love. Black men that I don't really talk to, calling me, checking on me. I share that to say that sometimes it's not the people that's closest to you that are your biggest supporters or the folks that's rooting for you. And I think Sears stood for that for Black people. So shout out to all the Sears people. I'm sure y'all had some slave owners too, but we're going to focus on the positive, okay? We're just going to focus on the positive. So anyway, it was a joy today to be with you guys in studio, and I look forward to next week. Don't forget to check out our Harvest Fest, September 6th. Put it on your calendar. We're doing so much that we're even providing transportation to the farm from Park Street. So holler at your girl. Visit us on Facebook. I am out until next week. Thank you for tuning in to 92.7 FM, WMDX, the Black Conversion Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.